If I could only get my mortgage paid off, then I'd have it made. If only I could get a raise, or get the kids raised, or buy that boat, then life would be good. Have you ever had a thought like that? What's your one thing? A man ran up to Jesus and fell at his feet. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He asked. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't ever recall asking that question. On the other hand, I have not physically encountered Jesus on the road. Yet this is a thought-provoking question to consider on this first Sunday in Lent. As I considered the gospel reading from Mark, I wondered, what was the man really asking? Was he seeking guidance or assurance? As the radio commentator Paul Harvey, I'm dating myself, would say, what's the rest of the story? Now, I assumed that the man was a faithful practitioner of the faith by the way that he addressed Jesus, good teacher. And Jesus responds by asking the man why he calls him good. And he adds, no one is good except God alone. What Jesus says next begins to give us a clue about the meaning of the story. Jesus says, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. And honor your father and mother. And the man responds that he has done all those things since he was a boy. But has he? One of the subtle undercurrents in Mark is a distrust of the ways of the empire. The Romans, of course, but also those in high places or those who are well off. Do you hear a voice whispering, asking, well, if you have done all these things, where have all of these riches, all of these possessions come from? Now, the commandments that Jesus referred to were not the entirety of the Ten Commandments, were they? Or as the Greek translation says, the Greeks didn't call them the Ten Commandments, they called them the Ten Words. The commandments that Jesus spoke to the man were from what some call the second table. The first four commandments describe how we are to relate to God. And the six remaining commandments describe how we are to relate to one another. We're to be outlooking, not in looking. And Jesus points the rich man away from himself and towards his neighbor. Now let's be honest. The man is a good man. We're told that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Here comes the one thing. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Jesus says, only one thing is missing for you to get where you want to go. Give up your source of trust and trust me. Come follow me and we will figure out life together. Oh, but that was way too much. He was ready for anything but this. The man was shocked and he leaves grieving because he has many possessions. Now Jesus is deeply moved by his sincerity and his desire to fully live the law. In fact, Jesus loves him so much that he wants him to be in his group. So much that so that he invites him to join them. But one thing is missing for the man: to separate himself, to detach his heart from that which holds him, his riches. Jesus' challenge is a challenge for him to go to a deeper place of actually living out these practices. Now, this is a difficult message for us, particularly us in the Western world, to hear. You know, us self-sufficient Americans. It's difficult for this man to hear as well. For it's a message about our attachments to our possessions as well as his. However many or few, about the things that hold us and make us feel secure and self-sufficient in this world. They make it so difficult to really dwell in the kingdom of God. Now the man, when he came searching for Jesus, he wanted more. He wanted an assurance for the life to come, a certainty that he was on the right path, you know, going in the right direction. And Jesus says, yes, you're on the right path, but there is something that needs to happen. A leap of faith, a full detachment of what holds this man's life together. I wonder if this text is more of a call into a life of vulnerability and interdependence, and the ways in which possessions are a barrier to that, more than a statement about wealth on its own. But either way, it's a mind-bendingly hard ask for us humans, as hard as it is to get a camel through the eye of a needle. And I have to say that there are some people that said, well, there is the eye of the needle gate in Jerusalem. And there is, but it wasn't built until the 1500s. So Jesus obviously was not referring about that. He was referring to taking a camel and putting it through the eye of a needle. That's how hard it is for this man. For you see, to be rich is the very contradiction of the gospel. The gospel is about conversion from a trust elsewhere to a trust in God. About a leap of faith that makes us care about and share with others. Amazed, the disciples looked at one another and said, and asked, well, who then? Who can be saved? Jesus answers that it's impossible for man, but not for God. For with God, all things are possible. And good old Peter, those of you who have been attending the Chosen video sessions, you know, when I read about Peter, the man on the screen immediately comes to mind. And good old Peter pipes up with a comment. We've left everything to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus acknowledges that those who do leave everything behind to follow him will receive everything of the reign of God. Listen to what he says. You won't have homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. You will have persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Those who have little in this world will have much in eternity. And the supplementary verses from the Old Testament, from Psalms, speak of following the law of God, and that those laws are worth more than fine gold and sweet honey. So God is worth more than riches. God's ways are perfect, true, right, and simple to follow. A clear vision for life. Let us pray. Lord of abundant riches, when asked to give everything to follow Jesus, a rich man faltered. So, Lord, give us the courage to give everything that we have to you, knowing that what you offer is more valuable than all the riches in the world. Amen.